Symbolic Code, Volume 13, Numbers 9, 10. Does lunar calendar or weekly cycle govern Sabbath? Part 3. As for a lunar calendar, let us not lose sight of the fact that Moses and the people that he led out of Egypt were all born and raised in Egypt, that they knew of no other than the Egyptian calendar. And what was it? History gives the answer in the following paragraphs. We know from the Latin writer Censorinus that the first day of the Egyptian calendar year coincided with the rising of Sothis in AD 139, and it must therefore have done the same thing 1460 solar years earlier, and so on, i.e., in 1321 BC, 2781 BC, 4241 BC, 5701 BC, etc. Egyptologists consequently date the introduction of the calendar to 4241 BC, or to 2781 BC according as they believe the pyramids to be earlier or later than the latter date. A still higher date, e.g., 5701 BC, is hardly likely. 12 nominal months of 30 days each gave 360 days, and the missing 5 days were added on at the end under the name of days additional to the year. The months were grouped into 3 sets of 4, the first 4 forming the inundation season, the second for the winter, or sowing time, and the third for the summer or harvest. Encyclopedia Britannica, 1950 edition, Volume 4, pages 576-575. Subject, calendar, Egyptian. While history points out that the Egyptian month consisted of 30 days, Moses reveals in his writings that the Notic month likewise was 30 days long. See Genesis 7:11 and 8:3-4. The only change God made in the Egyptian calendar was, "This month Abib shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Exodus 12:1-2. Since Moses and the people whom he led out knew of no other than the Notic and Egyptian calendars, and since God corrected only the time in which the year was to begin, he thus revealed that, aside from the time in which the new year was to commence, Egypt's measuring time was to be theirs too. He even approved of the Egyptian names of the months, as it is seen from the fact that the month Abib, Egypt's name of the month, the day it began, and the day it ended, was chosen to be their first month of the year, Exodus 12:2, 13:4. Moreover, the Jews also used in their calendar the Medo-Persian or Babylonian months in place of the Hebrew numbers of the months. The Medo-Persian Nisan, Egypt Abib, the Jews took for their year's first month, Iyar for the second, Sivan for the third, and so on, four of which are recorded in the Bible. They are Abib, Exodus 13:4, Ziph 1 Kings 6:1, Ethanim 1 Kings 8:2, Bula 1 Kings 6:38. The Jews could not have used the Egyptian and the Medo-Persian names of the months interchangeably if the months were not parallel with the Hebrew months. Furthermore, we have already seen from history's record, too, that Egypt's week was the same as the Hebrew week. This being so, the Lord said nothing about the week or the month. Still further, the calendar which the prophets used in both the Old and New Testaments was not lunar, but solar. For example, in Noah's time, 150 days equaled 5 months, 30 days to a month, Genesis 7:11, 8:3-4. In Daniel 7:25 and 12:7, also in Revelation 12:14, times, and the dividing of time, 3.5 years are interpreted in Revelation 12:6 and 13:5 to be 1260 days, or 42 months, 30 days to a month. Heaven's way of measuring time is, therefore, not lunar, but solar. When God created the moon, he appointed it to rule the night, Genesis 1:14-18, not the day. Not the moon alone, therefore, but both the sun and the moon jointly he appointed for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and years. Genesis 1:14. It is in 1 Samuel 25, in King Saul's day, that the Bible first mentions celebrating new moon days, and it is perhaps the only Bible statement upon which the lunar time theorists have based their faith in lunar calendars. Celebrating a new moon day does not prove that the months began with a new moon. Moreover, if they had to celebrate the day on which the month began, then why not celebrate the day on which the week began, and also the day on which the year began? Some take 1 Samuel 20:27 as proof that the months began with each new moon, but when one stops and thinks, he discovers that if the months had begun with the celebration of the new moon days, then it would have been needless for King Saul to point out that a day After the celebration was the second day of the month, such a statement would indeed have been superfluous if the celebration was invariably followed by the second day of the month. The scripture, therefore, rather than proving that the months began with a new moon, it proves that they did not, but that it so happened that in that particular year the day after the celebration was the second day of the month. This is what the scripture actually points out and nothing more. Bible commentators generally hold that some time after the Hebrews went out of Egypt they began to use lunar time, but no one knows exactly when and by whom it was commanded. Suppose it is true that the Jews kept lunar time. It is no sign that we should follow their unbiblical example, for their constant insubordination caused them to do many things which they had no business doing. Finally, since Moses and the prophets, after him, are entirely silent about a lunar calendar, then why should we to our own damnation add strange sparks, sparks of our own devising, to the light of God? Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine. Job 18:5. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and say upon his God, Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Isaiah 50:10-11. Since this is the only light which the Bible sheds on the subject, the lunar calendar theory, therefore, appears to be only conjectural, and not at all biblical. Consequently, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord, Lamentations 3:26, not to run ahead of him. We can thus avoid presenting strange fires before him. Nadab and Abihu were unmindful of God's command not to meddle with his statutes, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, Leviticus 10:1-2. Be not, therefore, carried about with divers and strange and biblical doctrines. Hebrews 13:9. Take your hands off the ark of God. The ark is to be supported by only him who knows how, when, and by whom. And now we come to still another ism, to the illusion of a 1,000-year Sabbath. There is no more fantastic a Sabbath theory, and that which holds its victims captive in the belief that the Sabbath is 1,000 years long, erecting its wildly fanciful claims upon the bald assumption that the 7 days of creation were each a period of 1,000 years. Absurd as the theory is, yet it goes on and on, when but scarcely more than a glance through the record of creation is needed to convince any objective reader that those days of creation were 24 hours long. The record, and the evening and the morning were the first day, Genesis 1:5, dissipates any possibility other than that the day was in two parts, one part dark night, the other part light day. And since the same statement, the evening and the morning, was repeated with each succeeding day of creation, inspiration thereby definitely certifies that each day in the week of creation was 24 hours long, 12 hours of night, and 12 hours of day, John 11:9. If these seventh-day Sabbath evaders believe what the Bible teaches, then why do they not ask themselves what the evening and the morning would be other than a night and a day 24 hours? Would they dare tell us that the night and the day were each 500 years long? If so, then how did vegetation and animal life thrive, or even survive 500 years at time without sunshine and heat, and 500 years at time without rest from the blazing light and heat of the sun? Moreover, if such were the case then, why is it not such now? Who recreated time and conditions? As this theory is wholly contrary to Scripture, the devil has therefore of necessity put his hammer of pseudoscience into the hands of this particular class of Sabbath dodgers, to help them drive their canopy stakes into falsehood. For he well knows that all evaders of truth prefer to place greater confidence in so-called learned men, and in the Spirit of God who himself was present at creation, and by whom holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. 2 Peter 1:21. But do these millennium-long Sabbath theorists appeal to no Bible at all in support of their way of reasoning? Oh, yes. They, too, have their Bible test, and here it is. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2 Peter 3:8. They construe this scripture as proof that where the Bible says a day, it means 1,000 years, and that therefore each of the 7 days of creation were of 1,000 years duration, and the complete work of creation 7 millenniums long. Last of which is supposed to have been the 7th millennium, the Sabbath. What? Do they mean to say that the Lord was 3,000 years in the heart of the earth instead of 3 days and 3 nights, Matthew 12:40? Evidently, according to their logic, that is what they must say. Now let us study this scripture to determine what it actually says and means. Note that it does not say that a day is 1,000 years, but rather that a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Plainly, it does not either say or mean that 1 day is 1,000 years long. No, not any more than it says or means that, conversely, 1,000 years are 1 day long. It in no wise says or means either the one or the other, but is simply illustrating that with eternal God 1,000 years are as short a period of time as is 1 day with us mortals. Why is this illustration used? Because scoffers were to arise saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation, 2 Peter 3:4, and still he has not come. Over against this short-sighted reasoning by earth-bound mortals, the divine comparison in the illustration in question underwrites God's promises as timeless, as immutable, and as sure as God himself. The great lesson which the illustration teaches is that with him time does not mean what it does to us mortal men, who come and go as a shadow that passeth away, Psalms 144:4, and as a tale that is told, Psalms 19:9. Inspiration thus reveals that Sabbath evasion victims who continue in their plight, after having been shown the truth of the Sabbath, are either unsound or insincere, or both. The fact is now fully evidenced that Satan has something to suit the taste of everyone who does not himself dig down deep into the wells of salvation, does wickedly, and does not believe exactly what the Bible says.